there. Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you. It's Gary Zimak. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. We have got a great show for you today. But before I tell you the details, let's begin in prayer. And as we start, I want you to remember something. Our Heavenly Father is watching us right now. He's with us. So everything we say, we're going to pray to our Father in Heaven. He cares about us. He loves us. Remember, He created us so that we could share in His love. Whatever we need, now is a great time to ask Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in Heaven, first of all, I want to thank You for bringing us to this new day. You gave us life, and You sustain that life. So each new day that You give us is a gift. Thank You. Thank You for blessing us with Your presence. Thank You for allowing us to come together on this radio station to talk about You and to grow closer to You. Father, we give to You all of our concerns, our worries today. We're going to give them to You and ask You to help us because we know that You love us and we know that You are all powerful. So there is no problem, no concern in our lives that is beyond Your control. You can help us with anything. So we give You our problems. And Father, I ask You to speak through us at the station today. May Your words go forth from our lips. And please open our hearts and our minds so that we can be receptive to the message that You have for us today. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, Your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks again for joining us on the program. I'm Gary Zimak. This is Spirit in the Morning, a totally new concept in Catholic radio. Nobody anywhere in the country is doing what we are doing here on Spirit in the Morning, on Holy Spirit Radio. We give you the top Christian music, plus we give you some of the top Catholic guests from around the world every day, 7 a.m. on Holy Spirit Radio. So it's great to be with you here. Joining us on the program today will be our friend Dr. John Bergsma from Franciscan University. He's going to continue his series on Bible Basics for Catholics. In addition, we're going to have a first-time guest on the program today, Dr. Joshua Hochschild. He wrote a book called A Mind at Peace, Reclaiming an Ordered Soul in the Age of Distraction. If you're feeling distracted, I think you should stick around because he's going to offer us a lot of good advice. Speaking of distracted, I could not resist this.
What are you? Hi, Gary. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Dave Parker. How
are you,
my friend?
Distracted over, good sir.
How are you today?
I am well.
You are looking. I love the T-shirt today. You're looking
you like that,
the kind of a bright blue T-shirt today.
Yeah. I figured I'd change it up. My sister Sheila in Erie, and I like it was her birthday yesterday, so happy birthday,
happy
Sheila.
Happy birthday, Sheila.
And, okay, so we grew up on Erie, at Erie, on Lake Erie, for one of the great lakes, fresh water. So it says unsalted, and it has a picture of a shark, and it was commemorative of a shark, and it says shark free. But, up in Erie, it's very nice water. It's very nice water.
Well, you were looking very watery today.
Yeah, really. I felt like, I kind of kicked back. It's still summer feel.
Boy, isn't it?
We're still recovering from the radiothon. Oh, man. Yes. Sorry, Gary. Go ahead.
But no, you're looking very bright, and
it's
good to see you this morning.
Yeah, good to see you, too.
Very summery. While I'm thinking of it, let me do a quick look at the weather.
Yeah,
then I want to talk to you about something. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, we have 67 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Today, we'll have patchy fog before 9 a.m., otherwise partly sunny, with a high near 83. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 70. Wednesday, slight chance of showers with a high near 87. At the present time, in Sellersville, we have 63 degrees. In Langhorne, 68 degrees. And in Exton, 64 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Parker, one of our guests, well, first of all, Dr. John Bergsma will be back on the show. We're going to continue our look at the book of Genesis. We've been following the journeys of our friend Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're going to see his encounter with this mysterious figure, Melchizedek. We were at this point last time. John is with us every other week, and we stopped because this is a pretty important story. So we'll take a look at that. But I'm excited also to have our second guest on the program today, Dr. Joshua Hochschild. He is the co-author of a book called A Mind at Peace, Reclaiming an ordered soul in the age of distraction.
Wow.
Dave, that's a big problem.
Yes. And that, yes.
How do you achieve peace, right?
Exactly, yes.
With all of the distractions in our lives, not just in our own personal lives, but social media.
Social media.
Plenty of opportunities for distraction. Television, it's hard to watch the news and not lose your peace.
The world situation on many fronts. I dare say I don't have to say any more, but yes, how do we find our peace and keep our peace?
Right, so he's going to be on to discuss that. This book comes from Sophia Institute Press. Once I got a copy of the book, I said I need to get him on the show.
Absolutely.
Because I think that's a huge problem in today's world. How do we keep our focus on the things that really matter? And the things that really matter, basically, got to keep our focus on Jesus. We try to help you with that every day, but there's only so much we can do. You're going to go out into the world. You're going to face your own problems. You can easily become distracted. You can easily lose your peace.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord doesn't want you to lose your peace, so you're going to have to do a little work to be able to achieve that peace.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, Garrett, can I have a favor to ask real quick?
Yeah.
Real quick. My daughter-in-law, Leah Parker, is over with her army unit over in the Middle East.
Oh.
And I was texting her and I said, you know, hey, and I sent her the spiritinthemorning.com link.
Oh, nice.
So, and holyspiritradio.org. So, Leah, if you're listening, give me a shout out, okay? I know you're busy because you just got there in the last week with her unit. So, God bless you and all the troops over there, and let me know if you hear this. Thanks.
Very nice. And isn't that great that we have that opportunity to
Absolutely.
Be able to go out around the
Yep.
world?
Yes.
There's a good example of how technology and the internet can really help us to share the good news. That's a very good use of technology.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have listeners around the world.
We do. Yeah, we hear from them every time, every now and then, right? Singapore, China. It always shocks us when we hear
like,
that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And keep listening to us. So, and tell your friends about us over there who want to hear the good word and the good word of Spirit in the Morning in Philadelphia.
That's right. And as Dave said, you can follow us online at spiritinthemorning.com.
Thanks, Gary.
Dave, let's take a quick look at the gospel. It's a very short one today. It comes from Luke chapter 8, verses 19 through 21. It's one of those messages that I think will inspire you today. It's going to make you feel good. The mother of Jesus and his brothers came to him, but were unable to join him because of the crowd. He was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, and they wish to see you." He said to them in reply, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it."
Wow.
Dave, there are a couple of, I think, misinterpretations that we can extract from this gospel. And I want to hit on those first.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is Jesus and his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
What is referred to here are the relatives of Jesus.
Yes.
It was a different, the concept of family is different
exactly.
than we know,
that.
Right? So extended
exactly.
family. His brothers, Jesus was the only child of the Blessed Mother. He didn't have brothers in the sense of the word that we
exactly.
we use.
Yes.
Right?
You're talking about cousins and
exactly.
people in the immediate family that lived in the surrounding area.
And honestly, Dave, sometimes I'll say to you or to the people at the station, "Hey, brother, what's up?" I mean, I use that term to we are all brothers in Christ. And
exactly.
We use that term.
And sisters.
Right.
And sisters.
No, not just sisters, just brothers.
Okay.
just brothers.
His name is Zimak, folks. Lady.
No, just kidding.
Just kidding.
And the other misinterpretation that we can get out of this is that Jesus is speaking badly about his mother. Mm-hmm. He's not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
What he's saying here is that the relationship we have to Jesus is greater than just his direct family relationship, right? In other words,
exactly.
we are all brothers and sisters of Christ.
Exactly.
And that's important for us.
Not
to
only
remember.
The worldly sense, but in the spiritual sense for eternity.
Right.
It can go pretty deep, you know, but that's essentially it, Gary. You covered it really well.
So, I mean, we are part of his family, and that's a really cool family to be a part of. We share the same Heavenly Father, and that's legitimate. Jesus came, when he came to earth, he came to show us the Father. He put a face, a visible face, on a previously invisible God, and Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father," which is an amazing concept because when we receive Holy Communion and the priest holds up that host. We see Jesus.
Absolutely.
Therefore, we've also seen the Father. A hard concept to wrap our brains around, especially this early on a Tuesday morning.
It can be. But then it goes back to look at in our parishes. I mean, that's community. That's family. That's, you know, how we... And not all parishes have that. I mean, you know, we've kind of fallen away, and we're trying to reinstill that, or the church is trying to, you know, revitalize, reinvigorate our parishes. But we're family.
Right. We are family. We share the same Father. We have a heavenly mother in the Blessed Mother. Let's not forget her.
Amen. Amen.
Our brother is Jesus. You know, this is a very good family to be a part of, and we want to... you're talking about things... If you talk about things... that you can be thankful for today, that's one thing you could definitely be thankful for. You are part of a very, very special family. So I would encourage you, no matter how you feel today, and we have a couple minutes before we go to the break, I want to just touch on that. Driving up to the station today, I'm tired. There are days when, Dave, we were talking about this before the show, some days I'm not feeling on top of the world. You know, it doesn't matter how you feel. It matters what you do with those feelings. I do a lot of speaking about overcoming anxiety. One of the things we have to get used to is we are not always going to feel great. We're going to be tired some days. Some days we will start our prayers and we'll say, you know what? I don't feel like praying. I don't have anything to say. Well, you know what I would say? Tell that to God. Because we're afraid, I think, sometimes that we'll offend him when we feel like that. And this morning when I was praying, I pray while I'm driving up to the station. Look, I wake up at 4:15. I'm tired some days. You know, I've been doing some traveling.
Oh,
sometimes
absolutely.
I'm burned out. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm a little tired today. And I really don't know what I'm supposed to say to you today. I just want to thank you for letting me be alive today. And thank you for the blessings in my life. Thank you for my family. And then, Dave, little by little, it started to flow when I started. But initially, I didn't feel like praying.
Yeah, exactly.
And but that's okay.
But you were honest with him, and he knows that. He
Isn't
hears that
hard, though?
It is. It is.
Because, Dave, if I'm honest with you.
Yes.
And I would tell, I mean, Dave, you're a great guy, one of the nicest people I know, and I'm not kidding about that. You're very even-tempered. But if I said to you, hey, Dave, you know, I had a problem.
I try.
Dave,
yes.
You know what, Dave? You've been really getting on my nerves lately.
Yeah.
Dave, you're a bit of a schmuck. You know. Eventually, we'd get to the point where, Dave, you would get a little angry at me.
Yeah. Well, yes. And as we go to break, folks, let me ponder my response.
That's right. But be honest with God. I promise you, he will not get angry at you. Yeah. He will not. When we come back, Dr. John Bergsma. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 26th. Today we celebrate Saints Cosmas and Damian. Since perhaps as early as the 6th century, Catholics have heard the names of today's saints in the Eucharistic prayer of the Mass. Still, we know little about Cosmas and Damian, other than that they suffered martyrdom in Syria. This was probably in the early part of the 4th century, when Christians who openly professed their faith did so at great risk. For making no secret of their faith, indeed, for seeking to pass it on, they were beheaded. According to legend, Cosmas and Damian were twin brothers born in Arabia who became skilled doctors. They have long been venerated as the moneyless ones because, as the story goes, they did not charge a fee for their services. Cosmas and Damian are the patron saints of members of the medical profession. Many healing miracles have been attributed to them. After a church erected on the site of their burial place was enlarged, devotion to the two saints spread rapidly in both East and West. In the 5th century, a famous basilica was erected in their honor in Constantinople, and another in Rome in the 6th century. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Business sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org, call us at 215-345-1570, or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak. 1, 2, 3, 4. You are not alone if you are lonely. When you feel afraid, you're not the only.
People said amen. That was Matt Maher. You are listening to Spirit of the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. So glad to have you with us on this Tuesday morning. We're joined now by our friend, Dr. John Bergsma, who's a full professor of theology at the Franciscan University of Steubenville. He's a speaker. He's an author. And we have been discussing one of his books, Bible Basics for Catholics, A New Picture of Salvation History. The last time we had Dr. Bergsma on, we were discussing, continuing our discussion of Abram, of course, Abraham, but at this time he's still known as Abram. We left off just as Abram was returning from a military victory, and he encountered this mysterious figure known as Melchizedek. We're going to pick up the discussion right now. Dr. Bergsma, good morning.
Hey, Gary. Good morning to you.
Good. I'm glad you could come back with us. We left off last time just as Abraham encountered Melchizedek. He's a mysterious figure, and we wanted to pause because there's a lot that we could say about him.
That's absolutely true. Melchizedek is, for the amount of time he appears in Scripture, he sure gets a lot of playtime theologically.
Yeah, he really does.
Yes, he does. So one of the things, Gary, is his name. You know, Melchizedek, it means King of Righteousness.
Okay.
Melchi, you know, as Catholics we might know of the Melkite Rite. That actually means the royal rite, or the Near Eastern Christians who followed the rite from the emperor in Constantinople, you know, and they were called the Melkites. So that root there, Melchi, is king, and then Zedek is righteousness. So that's suggestive, and then it says he's king of Salem, which literally means he's king of peace, but also Salem was an ancient name for Jerusalem. And that's very suggestive, because it looks forward to when the temple is going to be built in Jerusalem.
Interesting. How about the fact that he presented Abraham, or he brought out bread and wine? We read this in Genesis 14. Any significance to that?
There is. You know, some scholars say, well, he's just bringing refreshments, you know, so it's juice and cookies after the battle for all those hardworking warriors, right? But actually, we know it's not the case, because the sacred author, immediately after saying he brought out bread and wine, he explains, now he was a priest of God Most High, and that explains why he brought out the bread and wine. Because this was an ancient offering. The bread was what we call a meal offering.
Mm-hmm.
The wine was a libation. So this was a sacred rite. This was a sacred act of worship, of offering these elements to God.
We know that, as you said, he was a priest, but he wasn't your typical priest, correct? We don't know a lot about his background.
We don't. I should mention, though, Gary, that there's a very interesting and very strong Jewish tradition that links him up with Shem, the son of Noah, who, if you do the genealogies, Shem actually lives into the lifetime of Abram. The Jews thought to themselves, like, who could be so powerful that he could bless Abram? Because that's what Melchizedek does later. And they thought, well, we've got this ancestor here, Shem. So maybe this is Shem, and his throne name is Melchizedek. So that's just let me just throw that in there for us to think about. But otherwise, yeah, you're right, Gary, we don't know a lot about him, except that he seems to be, you know, again, the Jewish tradition is he's the first king of Salem, which later became Jerusalem, and he has both this priestly and this kingly role, and that helps to explain why David later, much later in salvation history, when he becomes king of Jerusalem, he takes on these roles of Melchizedek as both priest and king, as we read, for example, in Psalm 110.
Now, I'm not a biblical scholar, John, but do we see a foreshadowing of Jesus here?
Yeah, we really do.
How's that for a softball?
Yeah, that's a softball. Yeah, we see this, you know, if we listen attentively at Mass, you know, Melchizedek is occasionally mentioned as one of the Old Testament types of the Eucharist. Of course, in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews does quite a lot with Melchizedek and explains how Jesus, the son of David, is really a priest-king in the pattern of Melchizedek rather than after the pattern of the later Levites. And Gary, you know, this bringing out this offering of bread and wine, this is one of the strongest foreshadowings, or what we call types, of the Eucharist that we see in the Old Testament. It's this offering of thanksgiving and thanks to God for having delivered us from our enemies.
Wow, that's powerful stuff. Now, we also see that Abram gave him a tenth of everything. What's going on there?
Well, you know, Abram is, that's an act of worship. Okay. To give the tenth, that's what's due to God. Later on, Moses will institute that for all Israel, to give a tenth to God. And many Christians, even many Catholics, continue to give a tenth of their income. In fact, we even have in the U.S. what's called a tithing diocese, the Diocese of Wichita, Kansas. They encourage all the Catholics in that diocese to give a tithe of their income, and it really has done wonders for their diocese, by the way. All the Catholic schools are free, all the Catholic services are free.
Wow.
But everyone practices this sacrificial giving, so it's really done wonders. But anyway, so this establishes this practice within the spiritual descendants of Abraham of giving a tenth to God as an act of worship. And it's really a profound gesture, because Abraham is recognizing the legitimacy of Melchizedek's priesthood, that to give something to Melchizedek is really to offer it to God. And so we see that Melchizedek was a true priest of the Creator God.
So we see a biblical example for this concept of tithing. And as Catholics, we may have heard of it, but we are not necessarily familiar with it. But there's definitely a biblical basis for the concept of tithing, giving 10% of everything to God. Correct me if I'm wrong, we are not bound as Catholics to do it, but not a bad idea.
No, it's not. We're not bound to do it. And some people think that's because, in the New Covenant, you know, we don't have to give so much. That's not actually the case. See, Jesus ups the ante. When they bring him a coin and say, you know, should we pay taxes?
Yeah.
He says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God what is God. And, of course, the idea there is Caesar's face is stamped on a coin, but God's image is stamped on each one of us.
Wow.
So when we're in the New Covenant, we're supposed to give our whole selves. You know, we're supposed to give everything, not just a tenth.
Now,
obviously, God knows that we need that income to, you know, do our what we call duties of state, you know, to take care of our family and so on. But we really, as Christians, need to think in terms of giving everything, like the rich young ruler who gave all. So, you know, 10% is a start. That was the Old Testament standard. That can be kind of like a minimal. And then we have to think of, you know, how can I devote my whole life to God and really honor God with every dollar that I earn and all of my time, et cetera.
Wow, John, that's challenging. You're not telling me I have to trust him, are you? But that's why Christianity is tough. I mean, if it's too easy, then I think we're doing something wrong. It's very hard to trust the Lord.
It is, and if we're not stepping out in faith, I mean, if we can't, you know, nobody starves in America. We're talking to an American audience.
Right, right.
If we can't trust him, I had, you know, one of our priests at Franciscan, a great homily a couple weeks ago, he said, any of you that drove to Mass this morning can probably afford 10% of your income to donate to God. And he's right. You know, we're not, the kind of things that we're dealing with are really far from issues of, do I really have shelter over my head, or do I really have food on the table? Now, some of us, maybe, in crisis situations. But for the most of us, it's more like, you know, am I going to go on that vacation this year, or, you know, am I going to buy a new car or drive the old one for another year, you know, this kind of thing. So, yes, Gary, our Lord says, take up your cross daily and follow me. You need to deny yourself, take up the cross daily and follow me. So we need to start practicing that kind of sacrificial discipleship.
I didn't plan to go here, but John, I always try to let the Holy Spirit lead us wherever he wants to lead us. So thank you for going along with me. We only have about a minute left in the segment, and I really appreciate the way we're taking our time with this story, because I think one of the unfortunate mistakes we can make, especially when reading the Old Testament, is to just treat it as a history book. But the Lord's still speaking to us through these Old Testament figures, isn't he?
He sure is. You know, and when we look at the church fathers, they just took their time and would preach through an entire book, chapter after chapter, verse after verse. And we have beautiful sermons from them, you know, on Moses and Abraham as examples of faith. So it really is good to take our time.
Well, next time we're going to look at chapter 15 of Genesis, the covenant that God makes with Abram. The book, again, is Bible Basics for Catholics, A New Picture of Salvation History by Dr. John Bergsma. John, can you remind us where we can get a copy of the book, maybe follow you online?
Sure. CatholicBibleTeacher.com will get you to my web presence, and Ave Maria Press is the publisher of the book. You can get it right from them.
Thank you so much, brother. Look forward to chatting with you next time.
You bet. Talk to you then.
All right. Dr. John Bergsma joining us on Spirit in the Morning. When we come back, we're going to talk about peace. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Republican Senator Susan Collins' decision to oppose the GOP push to repeal President Obama's health care overhaul leaves the effort all but dead. Even party leaders concede that their prospects are dismal. South Dakota Senator John Thune says reviving the party's drive would be a heavy lift. He made the remark after Collins joined a small but pivotal cluster of Republicans saying they're against the measure. The Cardinal Archbishop of Dhaka, the capital of Bangladesh, has said he touched the wounds of Jesus when he recently visited some refugee camps for Rohingya Muslims who fled violence in Myanmar. Cardinal Patrick De Rosario told Crux Now that he visited a camp with some 30,000 refugees who do not have access to clean water or sanitation and have limited food supplies. He said, quote, "This is a humanitarian suffering. We suffer with these people. My heart weeps for our people. So much suffering," end quote. And the U.S. ramped up its response yesterday to the humanitarian crisis in Puerto Rico, even as Donald Trump brought up the island's struggles before Hurricane Maria struck, including billions of dollars in debt to Wall Street and banks, which, quote, sadly must be dealt with, end quote. The Trump administration has tried to blunt criticism that its hurricane response to Maria has fallen short of its efforts in Texas and Florida after the recent hurricanes there. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
No matter who we are or where we come from, we all experience difficulties in life.
Military veterans know that sometimes it takes strength and determination to make it through.
Whether it's obvious physical challenges or struggles on the inside, it takes strength to ask for help when you need it.
I knew that I had to get support, not just for me, but for the sake of my wife and kids.
Talking about it has helped me feel more like myself again.
Honestly, it was hard to open up at first, but it's changed my life for the better.
Learn how veterans like us have reached out for help and hear stories of strength and recovery at MakeTheConnection.net.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. The Sunflower Bakery in Gaithersburg, Maryland is a nonprofit kosher Jewish bakery whose staff includes adults with intellectual disabilities like autism and ADHD. Founded in the kitchen of Beth Shalom Synagogue, Sunflower not only teaches its students how to bake, but also instructs them about basic life skills like being on time for work and speaking up for themselves. As reported by Religion News Service, 24 students to date have graduated and found work at area restaurants, bakeries, and supermarkets. 39-year-old Zeke Koster learned to make hamantaschen for Purim celebrations. His mother, Marilyn, said, "At Sunflower, he feels so good about himself and what the potential down the road is. He's like a flower opening up." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
No matter the weather, you're always listening in the sun. It's a great day with Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. That was Natalie Grant, B1. You know, sometimes we forget. We pray for miracles, which is a really good thing, but we forget that we can be that miracle to somebody else. What can we do today to be that miracle in somebody else's life? Just ask the Holy Spirit to inspire you and follow along. He's going to lead you. You can be a miracle for somebody else. All right. If you are distracted by all that's going on in your life right now, certainly you are not alone. Many of the people in the world are not at peace. Well, my next guest is going to help us to achieve peace, a mind of peace in an age of distraction. He's the co-author of the book, A Mind at Peace, Reclaiming an Ordered Soul in the Age of Distraction, from Sophia Institute Press. Dr. Joshua Hochschild joins us. He is a professor at Mount St. Mary's University. He joins us now to share some advice on how we can achieve peace in a very noisy world. Dr. Hochschild, good morning.
Gary, greetings from Emmitsburg. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, man, I love the book, Reclaiming an Ordered Soul in the Age of Distraction. Wow, boy, do we need this. What was the motivation for writing the book?
Well, first of all, I got to give credit to my co-author, Christopher Bloom. He had the vision for this book and a general sense of an outline and plan for the chapters.
Yeah.
But when he described it to me, I got it exactly. This is a book of recovery in two senses.
Mm-hmm.
One is, you know, in the personal sense, it's meant to be helpful to the reader to help recover that sense of peace. But there's nothing new under the sun, as you know.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do is recover the wisdom of saints and sages, philosophy and theology, scripture, spiritual authors, and show them that they already provide the key to understanding our inner selves and how our inner selves need to be cultivated, habituated, and ordered so that we can have that inner peace that we all seek.
Before we go any further, I think it's important to define the term peace, because we throw it around a lot. Does it mean that I'm always feeling great and dancing on clouds? Everything is going great in my life and I just feel wonderful? What exactly is peace?
Well, one of the most common mistakes that people make peace is that they think that it just means the absence of conflict.
Oh.
As long as you're not fighting, you're at peace. But we're trying to help people understand peace in a more positive sense, as mm-hmm. an actual presence of an ordered and disciplined soul. So
okay.
It doesn't always mean that you're feeling perfect joy. It's compatible with great intensity and concentration, presumably in a mundane sense, even an athlete in the midst of playing a game.
Uh-huh.
If things are going well, he's feeling peace even though he's exerting a lot of energy, and in a physical sense there might be a lot of bodily violence. It's about a kind of spiritual focus and a sense that not only do you know your place in the universe mm-hmm. as a child of God, but that the different parts of you, your different powers, the different abilities and habits that you have are coordinated so that you have an inner integrity and sense of purpose.
Very interesting. Thanks for clearing that up. I want to, if we could, Josh, talk about the book itself. How about a little overview of the book and the fact that I found it interesting that it's divided into three distinct parts?
Sure. So A Mind at Peace is divided into living well, sensing well, and thinking well.
Okay.
And each of those parts has six chapters. They're very readable, 8 to 10 pages apiece, with meditation passages and questions for reflection at the end. The book is meant to be read kind of slowly and over a period of time. But the order of those three parts, it moves from exterior actions and the need for our lives to have a sort of basic virtue in our daily habits, to the way that we experience the world through our senses. And, you know, as your show implicitly acknowledges, the stories we hear, the music we listen to,
mm-hmm.
the way that we start our day and think about the opportunities available to us to serve God, all of those are are really ways of disciplining our senses, our attention, and the way that we receive the world through our bodies. And then finally, the last part is about the mind itself and what it takes to have the sort of mind that can think thoughts in the spirit of serving God.
Interesting. And I want to ask you a question, because I find this is just a very fascinating topic. Obviously, I'm a fan of music. We use music on the show. I like listening to especially inspirational music, but I listen to all different kinds of music. You have a reflection question in the book that really made me think. You say this: am I entangled by the pleasures of the ear? Do I find it difficult to work or to relax without music playing? That is a very tough question. And I mean, that really makes you think.
It does. And it's got to be a very, very personal question. It's
right.
Not like there's a certain number of minutes per day that you're allowed to listen to music.
Yeah, right.
Each one of us is going to have to find their own right way to listen to music, and right kind of music to listen to, even. But it's very common. Our bodies and our souls are very, very influenced through the ears.
Mm.
And you know, this is just a fact of human life that needs to be taken account of in a book about spiritual discipline. And so we're just inviting readers to think about whether the way that they're using music or the stories that they listen to, maybe they feel like they need to have the radio on in the background to do their work. And again, it's not like we're saying that there's anything intrinsically wrong with any of those things, but asking people to remember that the way they do that and when they do that is important, and also that human beings need periods of silence.
Yeah.
That sometimes we don't use music to inspire us or focus. We use music to distract us and to avoid the kind of inner peace that we really seek.
I totally agree. And one of the things that I have found in my own life is that I now enjoy silence. I have a long drive to the studio, and I really put the radio on initially to hear the traffic, and then I turn it off and I talk to the Lord, and I really enjoy that. There was a time when I would have hated that, because I had the radio on all the time. Every time I got in the car, the radio went on. But Josh, I'm finding that very enjoyable as I grow closer to the Lord. But that was a process. That didn't happen with me overnight.
Sure, sure. And everything that we talk about in A Mind at Peace is about developing habits.
Yeah.
And nothing is a silver bullet or here's the key or here's the method. It's all reminding people of the very different ways in which they can reflect on their intentions, their focus, and how they're ordering their activities and their attention so that they can have a purposeful life in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and that's going to be different for every one of us, but I think the important thing is to begin asking those questions. We have about 2 minutes left in the segment. I've got to ask you what I think might be a tough question.
Okay.
The book draws on the wisdom of some of the world's great thinkers: Plato, Aristotle, St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas. Much of our distraction today comes from social media, the noise caused by technology. How can those individuals help us in the year 2017 to deal with the problems caused by technology?
Well, that is a great question, but what I think that those classic authors remind us is that whatever challenges we face, and I think that there are new special challenges mm-hmm. to the way we perceive the world and to our attention that modern technology and especially social media bring. But whatever challenges those are, have to be faced by returning to the sources and recognizing the inner structure of the human soul and how God made us in His image, so that we can converse with each other, not just connect to each other through social media, but have real conversations with our neighbors, and also, as you were saying, conversations with God.
Yeah, yeah. Great answer, because, you know, as you said earlier in the interview, there's really nothing new under the sun. We have different distractions, than the folks years ago did, but they are still there. We can easily, you know, we can easily move away from the Lord instead of moving closer to Him. The book is A Mind at Peace, Reclaiming an Ordered Soul in the Age of Distraction by Christopher Bloom and Dr. Joshua Hochschild from Sophia Institute Press. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Josh. Can you remind us or let us know where we can pick up a copy of the book?
SophiaInstitute.com or at any of your local bookstores.
Excellent. Thanks again. You really helped me with. I feel much more peaceful now that we did this interview.
Thank you very much for having me, Gary.
All right. God bless you, my friend, Dr. Joshua Hochschild. Dave Parker.
Yes.
Hochschild. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I got his name wrong.
It was an awesome.
Wasn't that really? I mean, he gave me so awesome. Much to think about. Exactly. It's going to be different for each one of us, but there comes that point where we all have to turn the radio off.
Absolutely.
Not yet. Wait till the end of the show. But in all seriousness, it's a point where we've all got to make that decision for ourselves.
I'm going to read the book.
All right. When we come back, Be Not Afraid Bible Verse. Stay tuned.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
I've been held by I've felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same prodigal return. Thank you.
All right, can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, that's
amen, brother.
Man, that's a good song. It's the first time we played that on the air. That's All My Hope Is in Jesus by Crowder. David Crowder used to front the David Crowder Band. He now goes by the name of Crowder. That's one of the top Christian hits on the, I believe it's in the top 10 right now. Man, all
Praise
our
God.
Hope, Dave Parker, is in Jesus, right?
Absolutely.
We forget that sometimes.
Yeah,
we put our hope in so many different things, but all our hope lies in Jesus.
Yes.
He
so
redeemed us.
Yes, so many distractions get us, knock us off the path.
Yep. Anyway, let me do the beat. Wow, I'm fired up by that song.
All right. All right.
Be not afraid, Bible verse of the day comes from Exodus 23:20. See, I am sending an angel before you, said the Lord, to guard you on the way and bring you to the place I have prepared. Israelites, they had a tough road ahead of them when they escaped from slavery. Wasn't easy. Mm-hmm. But the Lord said, look, I'm sending an angel. You're going to be okay because my presence will be with you. It's the same thing for us, Dave Parker.
Yes, it is, Gary.
We can so easily forget that the Lord is with us. Don't make that mistake.
And we have a guardian angel.
That's right. I talk to my guardian angel every day. My guardian angel should get a combat pay. I don't know.
Overtime.
Overtime, yeah. He works very hard. I mean, he certainly is a very tired guardian angel. Anyway, don't forget that the Lord is always with you, so... As you go today, as you discover you're going to have problems in life, remember, you are not alone. The Lord is with you. Dave Parker.
Yes, Gary.
You got anything for me?
Gary, hey, it's kind of a shift of gear here, folks. Gary, guess what?
What, Dave?
Horses are neither diurnal or day active, like people, or nocturnal, night active, like cats or raccoons. This goes to our horse... You know, we were trying to figure out...
I forgot about that, yeah.
We're trying to go to, like, what are horses? Because when we drive up in the dark and you say they're out, so...
Yeah.
So I tasked myself with finding this out. And I just remembered that, like, 4 minutes ago.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So I already forgot that we spoke about it yesterday.
Yeah. So biologists use the term cathemeral, to describe species like horses that are neither nocturnal nor diurnal in their activity and sleep patterns. And I got that from Sleeping Patterns, thehorse.com. So, anybody,
thehorse.com?
Yeah, they have. Well, hey, there's a dot com. There
might
be
horse.com.
Yes,
that's right. Yeah, and you know what I was wondering as we were speaking.
Yes.
You hear that phrase, the night owl?
Yes.
Right? Is there a day owl?
Who?
A day owl, right?
That was a joke.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, man, yes.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, that's good. Thank you for telling me that was a joke.
Another assignment, another task for tomorrow.
Okay. Now I know what I mean. Now I know what my last guest means, that sometimes you got to turn the radio off. That might be close, but I want you to hold on a little bit longer.
We're going to turn my mic off?
We're going to get better. We're working at it.
So I had to close that.
That's very good. Okay. No, I mean, that's interesting. I did not know that about horses because I wondered why they were out at night.
Yeah, neither did I. So now we know. And
now we
also said, how about cows? Well, I didn't research cows.
Cow.com.
Yeah.
we'll check that out. Hey, by the way, I got a text from my daughter, Elizabeth. She said that David Crowder stopped using the David Crowder Band just so he could sound cool and only use his last name, Crowder. I said this before.
Mm-hmm.
We should change your name to Parker.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
be known as Parker. One
Parker.
Name, right?
Exactly.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
And my co-host, Parker.
Okay, let's do that.
That's right.
How about...
That's
our host, Zimak. Zimak and Parker.
That's right.
Parker and Zimak. No, I don't know.
All right. Anyway.
How about Eliason? Where is he in the mix?
That's right. Oh, okay. Dave, I do want to reel it back in, get a little serious, and follow up on what our last guest was talking about, that idea of experience peace, disconnecting at times. I know my wife, Eileen, struggles with this. I do too at times, but... We are both on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to get completely frustrated and overwhelmed by looking at your Facebook feed.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Eileen sometimes says, I just have to get away from this because with what's going on in the world, and you can just get frustrated to the point where you need to disconnect. And we were talking about that during the break.
Absolutely.
You feel the same way sometimes.
Exactly. Quite often. And of late, because a lot of the... things in the world, especially revolving around sports. I don't know if I want to name it specifically.
Well, I think everybody knows what's going on.
Yeah, the kneeling issue.
Yeah.
I told Gary, I just turn off the TV. I tell my wife, I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to hear anything on the radio or TV because, you know, I have my views, and if I go down that road, if I get hooked, like a lot of people do, like Eileen was talking about, we get hooked into, well, that doesn't square, that's not the right, that yeah. isn't how it works, that isn't, that's wrong, I want to stop, I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be, I want to be spiritual, and I just don't want to hear that, so I want to go offline.
Yeah, and, you know? And sometimes we all have to do that, you know.
And I know friends, too, excuse me.
And, yeah. and you know, even good things, certainly we do a great job giving you the good news here at Holy Spirit Radio, but you need to make some time where you go off and you talk to the Lord. We're going to help get you set up. We're going to tell you the importance of speaking to the Lord, but you just don't take our word for it. It's like trying to learn to swim from a textbook. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you got to get in the pool, so make sure you take that time. And as our last guest, Josh, pointed out, it's going to be different for every one of us. Ask the Holy Spirit, and you'll know when it's time for you to spend a little time with the Lord. I want to point out that coming up later in the week, tomorrow in the program, we're going to be joined by Deacon Keith Strome. He wrote a book from our Sunday visitor. The book is called Jesus, The Story You Thought You Knew. I love this book, and I'm so glad he's coming on the show. We'll also be joined by our friend Kate Wicker, who will help us to get past perfect. And Thursday on the program from EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, Catherine Zeltner will mm-hmm, be here, mm-hmm. as well as another first-time guest, Jeannie Ewing. She wrote a book called From Grief to Grace.
Oh, yes. I've heard of that.
Very popular. She's been on EWTN many times. What mm-hmm. a great topic.
Yes.
How you can find the Lord even mm-hmm. in the midst of suffering.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of suffering in the world, so stay tuned, folks, for that one.
That's right. So, Dave, it's been a yeah. pleasure. Great hanging yeah. out with you.
Yeah. Likewise, Gare.
On the program, we invite you to visit us at spiritinthemorning.com. And I also invite you to listen to Holy Spirit Radio. If you're not in the Philadelphia area, you can listen online at holyspiritradio.org. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned on the show yesterday, yes. we offer a lot of great local programming
Absolutely.
In addition to some network
yes,
programming
yes.
from
Connected
EWTN.
Connected to the Spirit, the Kingsmen. You know, Joe Montone's show, Finding God in Prison.
Yeah, so I invite you to listen to some of these shows because they are Deacon Dialogues with Deacon Rich Napoli.
Some very sober, some not so sober, but still with a Christian message that we deliver here, a Catholic
right.
Christian message.
So you can find that at holyspiritradio.org. I hear my music, Dave. I got to
yes.
run.
Yes.
Remember.
My music too, Gary.
That's right. Wherever you go today, yeah. whatever you do, the Lord's with you. Just make sure you say hi. This is Gary Zimek saying thanks for listening. God bless you. We'll talk to you next time.
God bless. Thank you.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.